Today on episode number 445 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to announce the winner of the free one-year subscription to the School of Podcasting. We've got some podcast award news, and we're going to talk with Rob Walsh, who is the VP of Podcaster Relations from Libsyn. We're going to kill two birds with one stone. We're going to actually test out the Ringer platform, which is a new tool that allows you to record interviews on your iPhone. We're going to talk a little Twitter bombing, and then I've actually got an interview with a temporary Twitter bomber. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, look, here's the deal. You come along, and I'm going to help you massage your message. I'm going to help you tackle the technology. I'm going to help you flatten the learning curve as I get you on the way to pain-free podcasting. How do I do that? I got 20-plus years of teaching people technology. Yeah, back in the day when people were like, what's email? Yeah, I help people understand that. It is my passion. I love to make the light bulb come on. When you go, oh, I get it. And the website, if you want to come out and get more involved, is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can contact me, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And if you're listening on the podcast app, if you click on the album art, you'll see the phone number right there. On the show today, we're going to talk about, you know what, let's just do that right now. Let's give away something. I feel like Oprah. Check underneath your seats right now. Yeah, we're going to, this last month, I had a survey. I surveyed my audience because I did a show on that. You know, when in doubt, ask your audience. And are you ready? Henry Jasper has won a free year to the School of Podcasting. Henry, thank you so much for filling out the survey. Actually, thank you to everyone who filled out the survey. I got 103 response. I guess that's responses to the survey. And I'll be talking a lot more about that in the future. Other news that we want to talk about that if you haven't heard, this is awesome. Dennis Miller from Saturday Night Live, from one of the funniest stand-up comedians. He's kind of went political and he does a lot of political humor. And of course, he has his radio show. He's been in movies. He was in Joe Dirt. I mean, come on. The classic, the cinematic classic Joe Dirt, among other ones. And he, along with Emily Morse, and if you're like, Emily who? You've probably heard the words sex with before Emily's name, as in sex with Emily, as in she was on, she's been on terrestrial radio in San Francisco. She's had a TV show on Bravo. She's been podcasting since 2005. I met Emily back at the very first New Media Expo. She's going to be co-hosting the podcast awards with Dennis Miller. And so if you have not bought your tickets yet to New Media Expo, hit pause, hit stop. If you're in front of a computer right now, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/NMX and get your tickets now. This thing is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We talked about last week, Adam Carolla and Norm Pattis. So we're talking the guy from Podcast One and the most downloaded podcaster are going to be there doing a keynote. It's going to be awesome. If you haven't got your tickets yet, now is the time. Now, you want to write this down. There's a coupon code, SOP2015. SOP2015 will get you a discount when you order. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/NMX. And I was listening to the New Media show today with Todd Cochran, with Rob Greenlee, and they were interviewing my boss, Rick Calvert, who is the main guy behind the New Media Expo. I am the director of podcasting for the New Media Expo, and they were explaining just how huge this show is going to be this year because we're side by side with the National Association of Broadcasting. And so we're going to have a lot of, you know, people from the media there as well as people from new media. And they were saying like from one end of the floor to the other, something ridiculous, like a half a mile. Like you're going to want to bring either roller skates, a scooter, something to, you're going to go home tired, kind of like Epcot at Disney, right? All people come out tired. That's what Epcot stands for. Or everybody comes out tired or something like that. But you're going to be tired. You're going to lose some weight. Get hydrated. Come out to Vegas in April. schoolofpodcasting.com/NMX. And speaking of Dennis Miller, I have a little clip here that I want to talk to you today about staying focused and really doing things productive. And then we're going to talk, we're killing a couple birds here. I've got a interview with Rob Walsh, who's the vice president of podcast relations at Libsyn. I've also got an interview with Brian Orr, who actually did a test with Twitter bombing. So we're going to be talking Twitter bombing, but we're also going to be testing out the Ringer service. And this kind of ties in with a topic I briefly want to talk about, but here's a quick little clip from Dennis Miller.
Ladies, if your man is not physically in your presence at any given moment,
he's... Casturbating. That's right. That's what we're talking about. Casturbation. This is a term I coined over the weekend. You're like, Dave, what is casturbation? Casturbation is the act of speaking to hear your own voice. It delivers really no value to your audience. You're just talking to talk. And so if you've ever started off an episode of your podcast with, hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm not really sure what we're going to talk about this week, but you know, I definitely want to get a show out. You're casturbating because obviously you haven't thought it through. You haven't done any planning and you haven't asked yourself, what is my audience going to take away today? And I thought about this for this episode. We're going to talk about, you know, Twitter bombing, but I'm actually doing two things. I'm giving you the value of listening to what a Ringer phone call sounds like. And I'm going to give you details that you really can't get. You know, maybe you can get them on Brian's website, but maybe you didn't know about Brian's website. So I'm saving the time of doing that. So I feel I'm bringing value today. The other thing is where you do activities that do not bring value to your podcast. And one of my favorite is let's say you go out and you buy an Audio-Technica 2100 microphone. You can go over to that microphone, that to-do list, and you can put a check mark on that and move on to number two. Move on. And you're like, well, what about the Heil PR40? What about the RE320? What about the Shure SM? You got the microphone. It's going to sound great. Move on. Because all that time of thinking about it and double thinking and did I do the right thing? You're casturbating. That's not helping you grow your audience. It's not. And so today we're going to talk about Twitter bombing, which is a giant casturbation-a-thon. And so that is it. Again, what is it? It's producing content with no real value for your audience. To record for the sake of hearing one's own voice. To record for the sake of keeping with a self-inflicted schedule. We'll talk about that probably next week or the week after that. It is good to have a schedule, because what happens is you become part of your audience's routine, right? But Rob has spoken in the past that some of the top most downloaded podcasts don't have a set schedule. So when you're listening to a podcast and it takes them 25 minutes to get to the point and it's only a 30-minute podcast, that's not good. You know, when you ask your audience at the end of your episode, hey, that episode moved you too. And if they don't say laugh, cry, think, groan, it entertained me. And they say, well, actually just move me to hit the next button on my, you know, podcast player. You're casturbating. So what are the causes of casturbation? Well, number one, ego, right? We think that there are people that are going, what happened to Dave? Oh my world has come to an end. I must put out an episode because how is Jimmy going to drive to work if I'm not in his ears? Well, get over yourself. Schedules, right? I decided to launch a daily show. Why? Well, because John Lee Dumas did, and he makes more money in a month than I do in a year. So surely if I do a daily show, well, it's great. There's nothing I love more than listening to a 30-minute podcast that had 12 minutes worth of content. All right, so schedules cause us to do that. My show's always been an hour. Without getting all like, you know, Invisible Sky Buddy on you, a lot of churches that are failing because, well, that's the way we've always done it. That's a really horrible reason to do things. Well, why did you put out a show this week? Because I always do a show every week. In the immortal words of Ryan K. Parker from the foodcraftsman.com. No one will punch you in the face if you miss an episode. Is it important? Yes. But if you don't have anything to say, don't press record. What else causes castration? Shiny objects. Oh my gosh. What? There's a new thing? Oh, look at this iPhone. It's gold. Ooh. And we go over and we check it out. I mean, come on. I played with Ringer this week. Now that's kind of partly my job. I'm supposed to know about all the podcast stuff. But sometimes we go, well, should I use Ringer? Should I use Ecamm call recorder? Should I use call burner? Should I do the, pick one that works and then go, and we're done. And move on and go back to making things about making great content that's going to lead your audience to go, have you heard this yet? Look, I castrate. I'll be the first to admit it. If you ever listen to my podcast, Building a Better Dave, that show is about, in many cases, it's like therapy. I think my next episode is going to be how I'm becoming irrelevant. All my jokes that I teach in class, my audience is getting younger and younger. And like the one day I actually went, hey, you guys know the band The Who? And my audience, my younger class students had no clue who I was talking about. But you guys don't know The Who? Seriously? And then I asked them if they watched CSI. And they're like, yeah. And I go, you know when that guy goes, yeah, yeah, that's The Who. And they went, oh. I was like, wow. I'm getting old. That show is castration extraordinaire. It's me talking about me. Now, I have a goal. That's why I try to make you laugh, cry, think, or groan. And you'll notice that show doesn't come out very often because I only do it when I try to make you laugh, cry, think, or groan. So there is thought to it. It's not just, if I did a show every week, it would be mammoth castration. But there are times when it's just me talking to me and I'm having fun. And you know what? I never expect to make a penny from that show. Here's another thing that is kind of castration. When you're trying to develop skills that you don't have and you don't have enough time, right? You're really short on time, but I'm going to teach myself Photoshop instead of spending, I don't know, $5 on Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. Isn't it cute when they have the two R's there? Fiverr, you're going to spend, you know, a week teaching yourself Photoshop to make an image that's going to look like it was made by somebody who just learned Photoshop. No, use your time wisely. And, you know, equipment, I already mentioned that. Sometimes we get, you know, should I get a new mixer? Is the mixer you're using doing the job? Then move on. Is the microphone you're using, is it, when you listen to it, you go, ew, no, then move on. You're a mixer, a microphone, a cable is not going to get you a larger audience. Right now, everybody is hot and heavy over the podcast serial. And I need to go back and find out where I heard this. It might have been Mike Dell's podcasthelpdesk.com. But it's come out that the podcast serial, you know, the one that had 12 episodes, took a year to create. Now, do I expect you to take a month per episode? No. But think about it. People were chomping at the bit to tell their friends about that. People who didn't know what a podcast was were coming up to me going, have you heard about Serial? Because it was a great story. It was told really well. It sounded good. And they even had cliffhangers. Next week on Serial, we'll be talking about blah, blah, blah. To where you're like, oh, I can't wait till that comes out. That was well-crafted content. There's a difference between recording audio and recording content. So let me give you another example of how, can I raise my hand right now that I went, what are you doing? And that's really my takeaway from this. Step back a second and go, am I working smart? I know we all work hard. We're all busy, but am I being productive? And at the beginning of the year, I was like, 2015, I want to do some self-improvement stuff. So I bought Michael Hyatt's Best Year Ever product. I've always wanted to know, go into like a little deeper dive with website SEO. And my buddy Daniel J. Lewis came out with SEO for Podcasters. And I know Daniel doesn't put out junk. So I went ahead and bought that. And you know what? You know how much I've done with both those? Yeah, I'm not moving anywhere with them. I think I've watched the first two out of five with Michael Hyatt. And I think I watched about 5 minutes of the first one and went, wow, this is good stuff with Daniels. And because I'm lacking focus. So I'm doing things that aren't really benefiting my podcast because I'm trying to do too much. Well, you got to walk before you crawl. And that's where sometimes I see people get the cart so far and head in front of the horse, right? They're planning their network when they can't even record their first episode yet. Let's get that first episode down first and let's get focused. And sometimes that's where I come in is somebody will come up to me and go, "Hey, I'm Darren." I'm like, "Whoa, tell me about your first episode." Well, I want to do that. Tell me about your first episode. Because really, it's that first episode, it's the second episode, it's the third episode that are going to get people hooked. And realize that 10th episode is going to be better than the first. But you still have to record that first episode. I know there's all these other fun-filled, bright, shiny things, but let's not get crazy with that. So, casturbation. The art of talking for the sake of talking, to hear yourself and to keep up with self-inflicted schedules, or participating in activities that provide no real value to your podcast and, more importantly, to your audience. Well, joining me via Ringer, we're killing two birds with one stone. We're testing out Ringer and we're going to talk a little Twitter bombing. The one, the only Rob Walsh he's the VP of podcast relations over at Libsyn.com. Rob, thanks for coming on the show.
Dave, thanks for having me on. Always good to talk with you. And this was, I was like, "Hey, a new toy.
That's it.
Do you want to play?" that was kind of how the email went, I think.
Yeah. As, well, I should also mention you are a regular, I guess are you officially a co-host of the feed? You're on there. I mean,
yes. Yeah, I am co-host of the feed. Yeah. Elsie does all, but I'll say this. Elsie does all the work.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, she does the hard work. She creates the Google Docs page that we put all our stuff into, and I write some notes and I show up, and I'm the talent. I get to be the talent. It's so cool.
Well, the thing about Ringer is in the email they even said this is a very raw, very new. You know, it just was literally released today. So they said you're going to find bugs. You're going to find things, and it sounds like
we did.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you've already found one. That you can't get the, what do you have, the iRig?
Yeah, I've got the iRig Mic HD. That's the one that goes micro USB, comes with a micro USB to lightning cable. So you just plug it right into your iPhone. And it's the mic that I use on KC Startup 411 that I use for working, works great into Boss Jock. So it works fine on Boss Jock and other apps I use. But for some reason, for a Ringer, it is not working. So, yeah, I mean, otherwise you'd hear when I rub right here gently, you would hear that coming through, but you don't hear that. So I think it's actually coming off the bottom microphone on my iPhone.
Yeah, I remember in the email it said it will use the, you know, you can use your phone or you can use your, you know, it said your earbuds, basically meaning plug in your. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing. Basically, I have the iRig that plugs into where my headphones are. Mm-hmm. And I have my microphone going into a mixer and then the mixer going into that contraption to send you. So I'm able to use my iRig. So I'm using my Electrovoice RE320 microphone, the typical kind of setup. So
we have to say the way they do the invite and that and getting your listener in was pretty slick. I mean, I like that. I mean, for a non-technical person, essentially how it works for a podcaster is you set up when you want the day and time to be of the interview. You set that and then you put in the email address of the person you want to invite and it sends an invite out to them with a little code. And if they don't have the app, it has a link for them to download the app. Right now it's just iOS. And then you click on the code and it opens the app up and it takes them right into the session and it says waiting for the person and then it starts recording. So from the point of view of you're a podcaster and your audience isn't technical, I like that. There's not much for the listener having to come and do.
Yeah, today when I first loaded the app, I went into the settings and the only setting I saw was, do you want to upload the recording using your data plan or not? And I have mine set to not because I'll upload when I'm on Wi-Fi. So we'll, but that's what made me think. And when we did a test call and something happened and it just quit mid-call and I noticed it was saying it's uploading. And that's when I went, it sounds like it's recording it on our phone. And then it's going to upload it to the cloud where it puts it together. And I know the email said it does some minor compression to try to level out the sound. So, well, the other thing we wanted to talk about today is you're kind of on a campaign at the moment, I would say. You're out to let people know about the dangers of Twitter bombing. So I guess we should start off with, what the heck is Twitter bombing?
Okay, so let's go to the definition. Twitter bombing, what is happening is there are some people that are sending out multiple tweets per hour, sometimes even from multiple accounts, and they're tweeting the direct link to the URL of their media file. And some of these people are doing it 5, 10, 15, 20 times. There's one person at least that's doing it over 150 times an hour. Jeez. 150 different tweets an hour. And they cycle through all their past episodes and they set up all these different things and they use popular hashtags and they're hoping to get discovered. And what's happening is they're getting downloads, quote unquote. So they're seeing downloads in their stats, but they're not real downloads. And they're from bots and other agents that people really aren't actually listening to the episodes. And what you look at, the way to know that they're not listening to their numbers is their core audience is not growing. So what I define as a core audience is, and when you look in your stats, if you host on Libsyn, you look in user agent stats, it's Apple Core Media, which is iOS devices, iTunes, Stitcher, Instacast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, you know, the different aggregator apps that are out there. This is what I consider a core audience. That's your subscribers. These are people that are really listening and subscribing and coming back show after show. Those are people that are going to do your call to action. One of the shows out there, I went and I measured numbers back in November for an episode, and I measured numbers recently after the same period of time. So what I did was they released an episode on 11/3. I measured 10 days later. That episode had 22,304 quote-unquote downloads. Of the 22,304 quote-unquote downloads, 209 came from what we call core audience, Apple Core Media, 54 for iTunes, so 121 for Apple Core Media, 54 for iTunes, 12 for Stitcher. So we had 209 for Core Media or her.
And the downloads were 22,000?
22,304. And of that, 1%, basically about 1% were what you would call a real audience. The other ones really are just bots. And so then I went and I said, this person is tweeting 150 times an hour. Then I went and looked at that person's episode that was released on 12/31, again, 10 days later. And that episode released on 12/31 had 39,000. So he was getting better at Twitter bombing. But his core audience dropped. It went from 209 to 174. Now he was down to 94 on Apple Core Media and 51 on iTunes and 9 on Stitcher. So what has happened was while this person's quote-unquote downloads were going up, his core audience was going away. He had a 75% increase in total downloads and a 17% decrease in total core audience. Twitter bombing is not a winning strategy. I mean, none of these people are going to make it into the podcast awards because they don't have an audience to do any call to action.
That's a good point.
They're not going to – yeah, they won't make it through the nomination period, and they definitely won't make it to the point where you get voted on. Well, and so, you know,
to guess, it sounds like my guess would be – is just a hypothesis. It's an opinion that maybe they're spending all their time checking their stats, setting up Edgar, setting up everything else to Twitter bomb instead of actually making – what's that thing called? Valuable content.
Right. I mean, that – you know, my session at New Media Expo – so we'll pimp New Media Expo. My session there is about all these BS marketing things that are out there for your podcast, you know, when people's guaranteed audience growth and things like that. And Twitter bombing obviously is going to be one. I go over and we're going to talk about these numbers here. You know, and I am looking at other people who are doing Twitter bombing. Recently, I saw one of the Twitter bombers announcing that they had millions or some of downloads. I'm like, really? So they have no real numbers. They have no real core audience. Now, I haven't seen any of these Twitter bombers with numbers over a couple hundred for the core audience. But they're out there. And worse, and what me and Todd are both concerned about, is that they're actually going out to advertisers with these numbers because there's not going to be a return on investment. And what it'll do is any of these Twitter bombers that goes to advertisers hurts it for podcasting in general because you get an advertiser who may have been somebody who would have been a lifelong advertiser on podcasts, many podcasts. if they come across one of these Twitter bombers as their first time advertising, and they go, wow, there's no investment, you know, there's no return on my investment for podcast advertising, and they go away and they never come back.
Right. So if they're spending money expecting an audience of 22,000, when in reality they're getting an audience of 209 or whatever it was.
Right. I mean, I look at it this way. The first time I ever had coffee was out of a vending machine at a General Motors plant. I don't drink coffee because of that. Probably not the best place for me to have tried coffee.
Right.
So I've never drank coffee from that point on because it was just such a bitter taste that I just left in my mouth. You know, 20-something years later, I still don't drink coffee. And that's what's going to happen to advertisers. They're going to drink a cup of coffee from one of these Twitter bombers, and it's going to be so bitter and so pungent, they're never going to come back to podcasting. And that's why myself and Todd are very concerned that Twitter bombers are a very real problem for podcasting. And I can tell you at Libsyn, I blacklist anybody who Twitter bombs. They will not be on any podcast campaigns. I know who they are. I look at their stats. It's very easy to tell if you're Twitter bombing. When you look at their stats, you can see Twitterbot in their stats, Livelabot, newspaper, Crow's Nest. These are ones that show up if a person's Twitter bombing. Yeah, I've challenged a couple of Twitter bombers. I've emailed them and said, hey, are you willing to do some A-B testing? Stop the Twitter bombing for 2 weeks and just put in where you put in the link to your iTunes link rather than the Apple Core Media one and see see if you actually get anybody subscribing. And, Philip Swindell did that. He's not a Twitter bomber, but he was doing experiments, and he did Twitter bombing as an experiment, saw the numbers shoot up, get like 6,000 downloads. And then he went and did the same Twitter experiment with Apple, with the link to the iTunes, and saw nothing. So no one's subscribing. Mm. So, you know, from someone who did it, you know, as an experiment, you know, he showed it didn't work. And I've gone reached out now again to a couple of these Twitter bombers and asked them, hey, will you do some A-B testing? And they don't want to do it because they like to have this, I guess, fake number is all I can think. Or they're trying to get advertising, which either way, it's not right. When people are publicly stating they have this big audience, here's what I say now. Anyone who tells you their audience size, don't believe it. Do not believe anybody's just raw download numbers. You can't believe them anymore. Definitely can't believe them. If they're Twitter bomb, you can't believe them if they're on SoundCloud because you can buy audience. What you want to see is you want to see the user agent numbers. You want to see what their iTunes number is and their Apple Core Media number. And then their Stitcher number. What are those numbers? And if they don't have those numbers above MSIE and other things, then don't believe it. You know, it's not real.
Well, when you say you can buy listeners at SoundCloud?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the services that will buy listens for you.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because people do that. They buy the listens to move them up in the rankings for their music, and the artists do that. So there's services out there. If you Google it, there's all kinds of services that you can buy rankings to move, buy your listens to move you up in SoundCloud.
Right, because if you get to the top of the charts, then you'll be found because your content, sure enough, wasn't good enough to get.
And it's so funny. I mean, and when I do my speech, I'll talk about part of it. You know, hey, it word of mouth marketing is the only thing that really works. But you know, here are some of the things that definitely don't work, and you know, Twitter bombing is definitely one that does not work. And so far, pretty much everybody I've looked at that's Twitter bombing, their core audience over time has decreased, not increased. And they're not even stumbling upon an audience. The reality is they're not getting any audience, and they're losing audience over time because like maybe they're getting maybe some of these people don't know better. I'm going to give some of them the benefit of the doubt. Right. I know there's some that don't know better, but if you're doing 150 tweets an hour, come on. You know better. You know better. And if you're promoting this, then you're just a snake oil salesman. If you're someone that says that Twitter bombing is going to work and you're promoting and you're telling people how to do it and they should do it and grow their audience, that's snake oil salesman. And that's what I'm going to call out, you know, at New Media Expo, because those are people that are actually trying to rip off podcasters. And that pisses me off.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's because it is in many cases, at last year's New Media Expo, they had a panelist and somebody was saying, look, as long as you got that 5,000 downloads, I don't care what your show's about. And this is a way to just get them the 5,000 downloads, but they're not real people. So,
oh, yeah. And on Libsyn, we want 5,000 downloads. I've actually changed my wording on the emails I send out. I don't even say 5,000 downloads. I say, if you have 5,000 US listeners, and you know, I've changed it to listeners because I've had people already get mad at me when I told them, nope, you're Twitter bombing and you're not going to be an ad campaign.
Right.
And they were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, this isn't real audience. Here's your core audience. When I went back to them, they thought their audience was like 20,000. And I said, no, your core audience is 218 or whatever the number was. It was somebody different than the numbers we read earlier. They were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Amazing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I've heard some people have stopped doing the Twitter bombing. They realized that it wasn't working. And they've said, you know, we've gone away from that. But I even have a guy in the podcaster meetup here in Kansas City who was Twitter bombing. And he said, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. I thought it might help people stumble upon, but it doesn't look like it was getting them any audience. And I think he's actually stopped since the last meetup. We went over these numbers at our Kansas City meetup. But, you know, he wasn't doing that for advertising. He was just trying to get word out about a show, but it didn't work. Now, here's one thing I do want to clarify. If you tweet out the direct URL to your file once or twice or three times a week after you release a new episode, that's not Twitter bombing. That's just called common sense and good social media marketing. It's the people that are doing it 5 and 10 and 15 times an hour and 150 times an hour. That's Twitter bombing and using multiple accounts. But if you're when you release a new episode, when I release a new episode, I tweet out the direct link to the file, but I also write in the email, hey, new episode's out, and then the link so that people know it. What the Twitter bombers are doing, they're just putting a link in there. They're not saying it's even a link to the episode or that it's an episode, and they're putting popular hashtags that have nothing to do with their show in some cases. So I want to make sure we clarify. Doing a few links directly to your file, that's good. Doing it a few times an hour, that's bad.
Yeah. Doing it 150 times an hour.
An hour. Really bad.
Really bad. That's insane.
And it's actually over 150. I mean, so it's unbelievable. Ultimately, this is going to hurt podcasters in another way. Right now, as a podcaster, you can reach out to advertisers. As Twitter bombing grows, it actually is going to force the advertisers to go to networks because they're going to want another layer of validation.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stop trusting individual podcasters about their numbers. And they're going to want validation, and they're going to work networks. So ultimately, you know, for me and Todd, the best thing we could probably do is shut our mouth and not say anything and let this play out. But that's a short-term gain, and I want to look at this as a long-term play. And a long-term play, we're looking at this. We don't want to lose potential advertisers into this space.
Is this something that somebody that's just got the media kit on their website? Do they? I don't know that I would want to put "we don't Twitter bomb" because the average advertiser is going to go, "What the heck's a Twitter bomb?"
Yeah, yeah.
But I could see where this is. You know, we could say we have an organically grown. You know, grown. I think I've just made a point.
I would say, as an individual podcaster in your media kit, having just the raw number of your downloads is no longer valid. You're going to also have to break out what your number of user agents, how many iTunes subscribers, and other things in your stats if you want to be looked at with any validity.
So. If somebody says, how many subscribers do you have? Obviously, that number doesn't come out. Is that just a case where you take your downloads, look at what percentage of your downloads are from iTunes, and then just do the math?
Pretty much. What I would say is you go and look at all your aggregator apps, you know, Stitcher, Shifty Jelly Pocket Cast, Downcast, Overcast, Castro, things like that. Look at those. Look at your iTunes number, your AppleCorn media number. Combine them up, and that's basically what your subscriber number is. And then anything from browsers and that is additional. And you can say, you know, we've got this number of core audience, and we get this many number of downloads per episode, which is based on this percentage is my core audience subscribers, and this percent come to the website or browsers, and break it out that way. Because I think that's the only way to present it now.
Yeah, it is a case, unfortunately, where, you know, one bad apple, as the old saying goes, can really mess things up here.
Yeah, so. Well, yeah. Smack your fellow Twitter bombers upside the head when you see him at New Media Expo and tell him to stop it.
Gotcha. I'm going to pop in here. An example I had is when I was growing up, I remember I was able to do things that my cousin wasn't. My cousin was the exact same age. And I asked my mom once, I said, you know, what was up with that? That I was able to ride my bike to my cousin's house, but he wasn't allowed to ride his bike to ours. I was able to stay out late. I was able to do this. And then she said, as long as you didn't give me a reason to say no, I didn't say no. As long as you didn't give me a reason to not trust you, I will trust you. And we all know that one of the most important parts of connecting with an audience is they trust you to bring good content, to not waste their time. And it goes the same for sponsors. They're trusting you that when you say I have X amount of listeners, that they're actually listeners and not some robot that is clicking on that. So thanks to Rob. You can find his podcast now. In the future, I actually continue to talk to Rob about his show Today in iOS, and I'm going to play that in a future episode. But I actually, well, it's on Facebook. Well, you'll hear the story. I'm going to talk with Brian Orr. You can find Brian at BRYANORR.com, and he had done basically a month-long test, and I said, can you come on the show? And it's, well, you'll hear the story. Joining me via Skype, here, I got to give the audience the little behind the scenes of this. This was so much fun. I was on Facebook, saw a post. We're talking Twitter bombing today. And on the Skype phone, we have a Twitter bomber. That's right. But it's not that kind of Twitter bomber. It's a really cool, almost like you're like the Einstein of Twitter bombing. We have the one, the only Brian Orr. You can find him now. Brian is with a Y. It's BRYANORR.com. And his podcast is called The Wow Small Business Show. And Brian, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Hey, no problem at all. I'm glad that you were willing to bring on an evil Twitter bomber.
And yeah, I saw your post on Facebook and left you a voicemail on SpeakPipe. And like 10 seconds later, you're on my phone. And I'm like, you want to do this now? And we're like, hey, let's do this now. So that was very, very cool. So so you decided to dip your toe in the Twitter bombing pool. Why?
My first introduction to it was a friend of a friend. He had explained a little bit about it. And then I'm part of Podcast Incubator, which is Maron Marekit's group. And some people had talked about sharing direct download links. And when I first heard it, I was like, that's obviously... In fact, I even posted, I'm kind of like the clown of the group. And so I immediately posted, oh, you mean the Twitter scam? You know, because the idea of sharing a direct download link and having it just blast in someone's ear as soon as they click it, because I had done that a couple times, you know, stumbled upon a link, clicked it, and then just it's someone talking. It just kind of reminded me of like the old pop-ups, you know, just something blasting your face. So when I first saw it, I was like, no, I mean, that can't be any good. But the more and more people were telling me, yeah, the engagement rates are up. And this one guy who, like I said, is a friend of a friend, you know, he was telling me what he was getting as far as engagement and all this. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to do it in such a way where I'm going to be telling people I have these enormous numbers because I know what I'm doing, you know, but I at least want to try it and just see if there's any validity to it. Because the way it was being pitched to me was, well, it's one less click that people have to make and people like it. It introduces them to you, especially when you have a small audience, which I do. And, you know, so it would be a risk if you had a big audience, but if you have a small audience, it introduces you to people. So I thought, all right, I'm going to run a 1 month test exactly, and I'm going to give it a shot and see what I find.
And well, I guess we'll just jump to the giant question. What did you find?
Okay, so what I found was that sharing a direct download link is pretty much nonsense. So here's the way I did the test. So there was a couple different facets to the Twitter bombing scheme, if you will. And the first facet of them is to share a direct download link as opposed to a link to your page or your iTunes link or whatever. It's going straight to Libsyn in my case. That's the host I use. And it just immediately starts playing as soon as someone clicks it. So that's the first tenet. But then after that, the other two tenets are that you post a lot, and different people do it different ways, but you're just posting a ton.
Well, I know you said you didn't research your hashtags. You won it.
Right. That was the next thing. Using a lot of hashtags and using hashtags that are very popular. That's the idea. And then the next thing that a lot of people do, which I chose not to do, is produce a lot of accounts. So produce a bunch of Twitter accounts. I've seen people with as much as, you know, 30 or 40 that I can count. And they're sharing from all these different accounts, so it just increases the amount of volume that you're pumping into Twitter.
Now, I had a quick question. Let me interrupt you for just a second. because you have a little more knowledge because you're talking to people who do this. When you say popular hashtags, now as we talk today, you know, it's a week before the Super Bowl or whatever it is, and everybody's talking about stupid Inflategate of the New England Patriots. So I have a podcast about podcasting. Are people actually like putting hashtag Inflategate and then putting a link to the school, you know, or whatever their podcast is that has nothing to do with sports?
I've seen a few that I've stumbled upon. Nobody that I know. But if you're doing that, you're doing it just for inflating your numbers in order to, you know, maybe trick advertisers or be able to say that you have huge numbers. Most of the people who I've seen doing it are doing it honestly. You know, they think that they're actually getting increased engagement from it. So I've seen the whole spectrum, you know, from people who are only doing one or two hashtags that are very relevant to those who are using, you know, Inflategate or whatever is currently trending.
Well, I know as I look at your website, you actually shared the graph of your downloads from Libsyn. And that's what really caught my eye. I was like, well, this definitely gets you more, I guess we could say clicks. You know, that audio file is definitely starting. Now, how far they listen, obviously, that's the whole other question. Do you want to talk actual numbers or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, it's funny because I went ahead and did this, but I'm not a real numbers junkie. So for me, pulling just exact numbers out of the air is not easy. But I was averaging, before I did this, which I did it on, I started on December 11th. I was averaging around 150 downloads a day, anywhere from like 80 on a slow day up to maybe 190 on a good day. That was my daily download number. So definitely not a huge audience. And then when I went to implement this strategy on the 11th, my numbers immediately jumped up to an average of probably about 1600 downloads per day. And so that was kind of my first indication. Wow. I mean, there's really something is clicking on these links a lot. What was interesting, though, is no matter what I did, no matter what I tweaked, it didn't really change it. There was one period where it dipped down right in the middle, and I don't have an explanation for that other than maybe the holidays, I guess. But then it jumped right back, and it just stayed steady. No matter how I changed my hashtags, no matter what I tweaked, it just stayed the same, which was kind of a tell to me that something was a little bit amiss. And then as soon as I replaced those direct download links with links to my site, it dropped right back down to where it was, you know, our average of, you know, 80, 90 to 150 downloads per day.
Yeah, it's an impressive graph because it, like you said, immediately just jumped right up. I'm with you. I'm thinking holidays maybe there in the middle, and then you can tell exactly when you turned the switch off. So as you go through this, what are your takeaways?
So my biggest takeaways are this. First of all, the way I did the test was this way. So what I was trying to prove was, because a lot of people were saying, well, it's not the direct downloading, it's how often you're posting or what the hashtags you're using. But what I wanted to do was disprove what I felt was kind of the worst element, which was the direct download links. And it's the worst element for a few reasons. One of the things that I didn't even think of when I initially did it, but someone else brought it up on Facebook, was if you're posting a direct download link, you're whacking someone's data if they're like on a mobile device. And so you're really giving them a hit that they weren't expecting, let alone the obnoxious blast of noise that they weren't expecting. So that was the part I was really trying to prove. Is it that it's getting clicked because it's one less motion, or is it getting clicked for another reason, like maybe spam bots are clicking it, something like that. So what I did was I left everything else the same when I shut it off. So when I started it, I was posting on a rotational basis. I took all 31 of my episodes and I produced tweets for those. And I did direct download links to them with a couple hashtags that I came up with on one account. So that was my strategy. And it was posting them on a rotating basis anywhere from every, so per tweet, from every, say, 5 hours up to, I think the longest interval was like 27 hours, something like that. And so it was just reposting. So basically, my Twitter feed for the Wild Small Business was getting hit about every, I would say on average, maybe every 15 minutes, something like that, with a tweet.
Okay.
15, 20 minutes. And so, and it wasn't always the same, but generally about the same. So then when I shut it off, all I did is I took those tweets and I replaced all of the direct download links with links to the pages on my website. The content was the same effectively, but now they just had to make two clicks. They had to click it, then they would end up on the page, then they would hit the play button on the page. And what I saw was that my actual listens went back to what they previously were, meaning that the Twitter strategy of hashtagging and posting a lot did zero. The only thing that impacted my downloads was the direct download link, which proves that we're probably dealing with things that are less than human in this case. We're dealing with bots.
Yeah. And bots aren't going to vote for your show for the podcast awards.
Yeah. And they're not going to engage. They're not going to buy products. They're not going to do anything useful for you. So the only use there is if you're trying to fool someone with your numbers, essentially. That's what my study showed. Because if anything, you would think my numbers would have gone up a little bit just because I was posting a lot more and I saw really no increase whatsoever.
Anything that you've done here with just using Twitter and things like that, that is there something you're like, okay, this obviously was bad, but I did learn this and I might do some of this in the future, or anything that any strategies that you've come across? I'm like, okay, that was bad, but I can tweak this and I can use it for good this way.
Yeah. So I've continued to use most of the rest of the strategy, just trying to hone it. So I'm trying to be a little less noisy, not posting quite as much. But here's the benefit that I have seen. I've gotten a lot more retweets. I have a lot more followers on Twitter, and these are real humans. I've reached out to them. We've had conversations. I've had people reach out to me and email me off of Twitter. I've had sponsors email me saying, you know, we're interested in maybe sponsoring the show. And so what that's proving is that people are landing on my site more often with this Twitter strategy, the strategy that does not include the direct download links. But the downside is they're not really listeners. You know, they're other humans who I get a chance to connect to. Maybe they know my name, but they're not going to iTunes and subscribing. This research shows that iTunes subscribers is really where it's at. These are the people who are consistently listening to your show and consuming your content. There's a lot of peripheral people who you get to interact with, other podcasters, other business people, and that's good. That has benefit. It's worth doing, I think, as long as you're not being spammy about it. But recognize that I don't think you're going to have a strategy on Twitter that's going to create a huge, at least if you're not promoting anything, you know, you're not paying Twitter anything, that's going to have a huge impact on listenership unless you actually have a great product that people are interested in listening to, which is what it comes down to.
How much time do you think you put into the actual experiment?
It wasn't that bad. I would say the total time that I spent was probably about maybe 7 hours total. Most of the work that was spent was really just spent writing the tweets, you know, because I can get the direct download links easily or the links to my blog. And on a few of them, I created images on Canva, you know, with a little bit of art, maybe a quote from my guest, something like that. But it's not a huge time consuming thing. And I think it's worth doing because the nature of Twitter is that it's like a giant room with millions and millions of people in it. And, you know, to think that you're going to post one time and someone's going to see it, it's very rare, especially if you're trying to capture them using hashtags or something that they're interested in. So I think it's worth reposting your episodes on a regular basis in hopes that you connect with a human being here and there. But as far as getting mass people who are just like subscribing to your show, I just don't see that as happening.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about your podcast, Wow Small Business Show.
This is the part of the show where Dave gives me a little bit of charity. I appreciate that, Dave. No, so I'm a small business owner, and I've been really blessed to be able to sort of take my business to the stage where I'm not working in it nearly as much as I'm working on it now. Sort of the e-myth sort of a thing, Michael Gerber's phrase there. And so I'm wanting to try to help other small businesses do the same thing, start to work on their businesses as opposed to just in it and find some inspiration, find some really tactical things that they can take and use. And so that's what the Wow Small Business is all about. It's a little bit of me talking and a lot of me interviewing amazing people.
Yeah, very cool. I have to ask you something else. I'm at your website. Again, that's brianorr.com. I see where you have Pat Flynn's smart podcast player.
Yeah, I actually have two different players.
And then you have the Procast player. And I was going to say, what are your thoughts since you have the viewpoint of both sides of that fence?
Yeah, I mean, they're just great for different things. You know, the downside to Pat's player is that it's not cheap. You know, so you could use the Libsyn player and it would be okay. But Pat's player is nice. It's got the jukebox feature. So I use the jukebox feature with all of my shows in my podcast page. So people who maybe aren't used to using iTunes. And, you know, my audience is a lot of people who aren't really listening to a lot of podcasts. You know, a lot of small business owners aren't really on board with that yet. It's more of a solopreneur thing. And so I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. And Pat's player does a great job with that. But then John's player, the Procast player, is excellent because it just gives me the opportunity to have my latest episode on every page there on the sidebar. So I really like it. And John's a great, great friend.
I was going to ask you, is that the main feature of the Procast player? Because it is cool. When you go to your website, You've got the player right there. You've got the subscribe buttons. You've got the share buttons right there in the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah, that's really the benefit of it. It's just that it's there. It's on every page, and people can, you know, get a little sampling of your podcast right from the homepage, wherever they happen to land. So yeah, it's a nice slick little thing. And Pat's Player doesn't do that, at least to my knowledge. I haven't upgraded to the latest version since he went live, because I was in the beta testing group. But yeah, to my understanding, it doesn't do that. So it just fills a gap.
How many episodes you got out at this point?
So I have a couple that aren't numbered. So I think my total episode count, I believe, is 34.
All right. And do you have anything that you look back now and say, well, because of my podcast, if I hadn't been doing my podcast, this wouldn't have happened?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many things. I would be a totally different person. I mean, so much has changed for me since Podcast Movement, which I went to, you know, last, whatever it was, August or July. I've just met so many amazing people. Really, my whole mindset about networking and interacting with people and the friendships that I have, that's the main thing that I've gotten out of it, is just relationships. I mean, Jared Easley has kind of changed my life in that regard.
Yeah, he is an awesome dude. He really is. Yeah, it's one of those things where we all, you know, we hear about, you know, all these people making more money in a month than I will in a year. It's hard to put money on a really good friendship, a really good relationship. That's, to me, a lot of times gets overlooked in terms of how people benefit from a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're just such an amazing group of people who are doing this. I couldn't have asked for more. And really, I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to drag me away from it now.
Yeah. That's it. My wife said, how long do you think you're going to podcast? I said, I will be podcasting from my deathbed. I'm like, I'm pretty sure, you know, podcasting since 2000, you know, I'm like, I'll probably be talking into my watch or something like that to record it, but that'll be fun. So,
yeah.
Well, Brian, again, your website is brianorr.com. That's Brian with a Y, or with two R's. And I want to thank you so much for, A, doing this experiment and then being cool enough to share the results. It's really, really cool. And thanks for just hopping on the phone and saying, hey, I can do that now if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for not insulting me for doing it. And it was a scary experiment, but I'm glad I did it, learned something with it. And I really appreciate you reaching out. I'm a big fan.
Super nice guy, Brian Orr. Thank you so much for sharing the results of your experiment. You can find him again, brianorr.com. I'll have links to everything. If you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/445, of links to Brian's full article. You can see there, you can actually see his stats. And one of the things I want to talk about his stats there, he basically got 12 times the number of downloads. And I think that's a very intoxicating stat. But you have to remember, they're not real people. It's not real numbers. It looks real. It smells real, but it's not. And I did the numbers on the... Rob was talking about the guy that had like 205 core audience, but he had, you know, 22. That's 0.1%. So when people say 99.9%, yeah, 99.9% of his audience was fake. That was amazing in that. So we all want to find that switch to get 10,000. We need to start saying this now, 10,000 listeners. Because we can't say 10,000 downloads anymore, because you can buy them, you can cheat and steal and ruin podcasting by telling your sponsor, hey, we're up to 15,000 downloads, I need more money. Well, do you realize that there are people, if we go back in the history of podcast advertising, there was the Mommy Cast. They got a six-figure deal for doing Dixie Cups. That stuck around for years. They had that sponsorship for years. Why? Because they actually had listeners. If they didn't, they would have done their first contract and said, and we're done. Because nobody's buying, because 99.9% of your audience is fake. So keep that in mind. And so we learned a little bit about Ringer today. If you want to play with it, it's an interesting little tool. You're going to sound less like you're on a phone. It's kind of like an intermediate step. Play with it and see what you think. And again, it's handy for those who don't have Skype but know how to download an app. That would probably get them through. Give them a shot. If you're in Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to this, tonight is the Cleveland Podcasters Meetup. Go to ClevelandPodcastersMeetup.com, or I'm sorry, ClevelandPodcasters.com, and that will get you there. And we meet once a month. Great time, great people. And if you're looking to start a podcast, I can provide you with what I feel are the best practices. I can tell you the pros and cons of each step. You can make your decision because in the end, it's your podcast. And I can show you how to determine what is content that is going to move my audience, that's going to have them talking to their friends about my podcast. And if you want to start a podcast, go out, schoolofpodcasting.com, use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, that is all lowercase. If you don't have a website yet, send me an email with the phrase quick start. And what we do there is I send you a link to where you can order your hosting through an affiliate link of mine. I earn a commission from that. And as my way of saying thank you for using my affiliate link, I give you a free month to the School of Podcasting. And I go in and set up WordPress for you. So thanks to Rob again from Today in iOS and from Libsyn.com. Use the coupon code, since we're talking about coupon codes, SOP free when you sign up at Libsyn.com. That's Libsyn.com. That is who I use for my media host for this show. Thanks to Brian, and thanks to you for listening. I deeply appreciate it. In the future, we are going to be talking about the what happens when you release on a regular schedule and you provide content, not just audio. We do. I'm still working on the episode about what we can learn from radio folks. That's coming in the future. I'll be sharing some of the insights I learned from my audience survey, and of course, whatever you want to talk about. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, we also have some last five and fives. I know some folks sent those in, and I'll put those in next week. Don't forget to get your tickets for New Media Expo. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/NMX. And really, everything we talked about today, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/445. And until next week, thanks so much for listening. Class is dismissed. Take care. God bless. Hit it, ladies.
And now it's time for a last five and five.
That's not the right button. Instead of spending, I don't know, $5 on Fiber, it's a new website. It's really good. Makes you regular. Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach that you can put in your pocket. That's right. The podcast coach in your pocket. Welcome. What the hell am I?